We read the Word of God from Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman, which hath an husband, is bound by the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Thus far the reading of the Holy and Divine Scripture. We consider as our text this evening for applicatory verses 15 through 17. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in the context, teaches the gospel. The gospel is that we are dead to the law by the body of Jesus Christ in order that we might be married to the risen Lord Jesus Christ in order to bring forth fruit unto God. That is a joyful message, dead to the law and married to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We are joined with the Lord Jesus Christ and become one plant and one body with Him, so that there is no more twain but one flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ dwells in us, and we dwell in Him by the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He is our head, and we are His members. And He fills us with His life, His blessedness, His word, His glory, His righteousness, His joy, married to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And that's the gospel that was signified and sealed by the Lord's Supper this morning. The Lord's Supper taught us that we are married to Jesus Christ. We are one plant with Him. By means of the operation of the Holy Spirit and partaking of that Lord's Supper by faith, our union with Jesus Christ was made closer, so that we were drawn ever closer to Him. And that's good news. That's good news over against what was the reality of our misery. We were married to the law, and we had a bad marriage to the law. We had a bad marriage to the law in which the law constantly condemned us. The law nitpicked at everything that we did in order to point out how everything that we did was completely sinful and worthless and worthy of condemnation. Our husband, the law, never commended us. Our husband never built us up. Our husband never established us on a sure foundation. Our husband constantly criticized, constantly pointed out, constantly condemned. And there was therefore in that marriage no joy. There was in that marriage no hope. There was in that marriage no glory. There was in that marriage no good. There was only labor and toil and sorrow and misery in that marriage. And you know what? The law was right. And the only hope to get out of that marriage was that we had to die. We had to die so that we could be married to another. And we died. We died at the cross of Jesus Christ. We were dead and buried in Jesus Christ. We died to the law, that we're no longer held in that bondage, in order that we might be married to another. And it would seem then that the Christian, married to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, is well nigh perfect. He is delivered from all condemnation, for there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's not condemnation now, there's not condemnation ever for those that are married to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. They can never be condemned. Never be condemned for anything that they say, do, or think. They're free from condemnation. And two, they're delivered. They're delivered from the power of sin, so that sin might not reign in their mortal bodies. They're delivered into the glorious relationship with Jesus Christ, in which Christ rules in them. Christ operates in them continually by His Spirit. The Christian is free, free in Jesus Christ. And yet you understand, he still has to deal with that law. And that law says something to him. The law does not say something to him to condemnation. The law cannot do that no more.
but the law may speak to him. And that law exposes the believer, the regenerated believer's actual spiritual condition. That's what the apostle is investigating. He said, I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And as soon as the law said, you shall not covet, my sin in me took occasion by that commandment, you shall not covet, and it wrought in me all kinds of lusts, and it killed me. And the question then becomes, what is the actual spiritual condition of the regenerated child of God who is engrafted into Jesus Christ, who is indwelt by the Spirit, who is free from all condemnation? What is the actual condition of his heart and of his mind, of his will, of his deeds, of his whole life? And the apostle gives expression to that immediately before our text. We all know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. He's talking about himself. I am carnal, sold under sin. And it's those words that he's now investigating in our text. What does it mean to say that I am carnal, sold under sin? And with our words then, exploring that idea that I am carnal and sold under sin, the apostle expresses that the actual condition of the regenerated child of God in Jesus Christ is that he is engaged in a constant internal spiritual warfare. That's his condition. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. I do what I hate. What I do, I do not approve of. That's his condition. Constant spiritual warfare. And that's what our text teaches, the believer's internal spiritual warfare. Notice, first of all, what this is. Notice, secondly, why this is. And notice, finally, unto what this is. The apostle is not giving a dogmatic theological definition of the regenerated believer's internal spiritual condition. He is investigating himself by the power of the Spirit, and he is giving expression to what he finds in himself by the power of that Spirit-wrought investigation. And we must understand, when we are talking about the Christian's internal spiritual warfare, we must understand that there is a single person who is speaking here. The person is your self-conscious subject of all your thoughts and actions. Your person is your I. Your I does not change all your life long. It's the same when you are in the womb of your mother. It's the same when you are 2. It'll be the same when you're 80. It is the subject of all you do. And there is in the text only one person speaking. There are not two people speaking. The Christian is not two persons. He is one person. And that one person is the subject of all that the Christian does. And that one person speaks here in the text. And secondly, you must understand that that one person has one nature. Your nature is the totality of the qualities and powers that makes you, you. The totality of the qualities and powers that makes man, man, and distinguishes man from an angel or from a dog or from a cat. Man's nature is all of his faculties, as those, the entire group of faculties makes man what man is. He says later on that he has members. Those members are your nature. They are all that makes you, you. They are the totality of the qualities and powers that makes man a man. Later on, he talks about our flesh. Our flesh is our nature. My nature and flesh are virtually synonymous. And so you have one person speaking, and he's speaking out of his one nature. And here in the text, the most contradictory and antithetical things are ascribed to that one person. Listen, what I do not allow or recognize or approve of. What I will to do, I do not do. What I hate, that is what I do. And then the most mysterious of all, what I do not do it, but sin in me. What a strange man. What an impossible thing. Willing and hating, doing and not doing, all attributed to the same person. And it all concerns the same thing. He says that in the sphere of the law of God. The law of God is that law of God speaks of what is good and evil. Speaks of what is the will of God for man. That law, as it is the expression and revelation of what is good and spiritual and holy and just. In that sphere, the one person says, what I want to do, I don't do. What I do not approve of. I do what I hate. Then strangest of all, what I do not do it, but sin in me. And that language of the apostle is the expression of the experience of the regenerated heart. It is the experience of the believer as he has been engrafted into Jesus Christ, as he lives in and out of Jesus Christ by Christ's Spirit, as he is a new creature in Jesus Christ. It is the Christian, the regenerated believer, who speaks. That has to be clear from the context. For in the context he says, brethren, we're dead to the law, in order that we might be married to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The one who speaks here is the one who is married to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He is bone of Christ's bone and flesh of Christ's flesh. The unregenerated does not have this experience. The unregenerated man is dead in trespasses and sins. He has no fear of God before his eyes. The poison of asps is under his tongue. With his tongue he practices deceit. His feet are swift to shed blood. He runs in the paths of wickedness. Cursing and bitterness are in his mouth. For the unregenerated man, the carnal mind is enmity against God. For the unregenerated man, the things of the Spirit are utterly foolishness to him. The unregenerated man does not submit himself to the evaluation of the law of God. He does not consent to the law that it is good. So that when the law comes to him and the law evaluates him, and the law exposes him, and the law condemns him in all that he is and all that he does. The unregenerated man does not delight in the law of God after the inward man. It was always the Pelagian, it was always the Arminian who explained the text as applying to the unregenerated man. They were interested in teaching the power of the natural man to do good. The power of the natural man especially to will the good, and by that they meant especially this, that the natural man can will and choose the gospel and Jesus Christ in salvation. So they taught that the natural man desired to do the good. He willed it, but he just couldn't do it apart from the helping grace of God. He desired to do that which was right according to the law of God, but he could not do it unless God added to the willing of man the power of his grace so that man was able to carry out what he willed. There are many of us especially who exposed himself as having departed from the truth in his preaching on this text, he applied it to the unregenerated. But the unregenerated, understand, does not have this experience. The natural man's will is utterly bound in sin. The evil that he commits, he does with his might. He wills the evil. He delights too in the evil so that he loves it. He hates the law of God. And his hatred of the law of God is merely the expression of his hatred for the God of that law. Carnal mind is enmity against God. This is the language of the regenerated. The experience of the apostle too, the experience of the regenerated apostle is the experience of every regenerated child of God. And we must understand exactly what that experience is. And in order to give a clear understanding of what that experience is, I'm going to translate the text differently than we have in the King James Version. In the King James Version, we have the word do. And that word do is translating a number of different Greek words. And those different Greek words all do at their essence mean to do, but they have different connotations. And so I'm going to translate them more literally. For what I produce, I do not recognize it. For what I will, this I undertake to do. But I bring forth what I hate. But if I do not will what I bring forth, I agree with the law that it is good. And now it is no longer I myself who produces, but the sin that dwells in me. What child of God has not had that painful experience? What child of God has not engaged in that terrible internal warfare? Who of all God's children who have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light, who have been translated out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son, have not experienced that? And what is that? It's this. Take your holy deeds. Take your works. Indeed, don't take the worst of them. Take the very best of them. Take going to church. Take listening to a sermon. Take praying to God. Take loving your children. Take the very best of your works and look at them in the light of the law of God. And the demand of the law of God for absolute internal and external perfection. And you will say, if you are a regenerated child of God, you will say, what I have produced, I don't even recognize. What I do, I do not approve of. That is not what I set out to do. That thing is so tainted and so defiled with iniquity that I disown it as good. And I cannot approve of it. It's a filthy rag. That's the experience. The deed began good. It began in the regenerated heart of the child of God, throbbing with love for God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the neighbor. The deed was the fruit of faith. Faith by which we are engrafted into Christ and faith by which we have the Spirit in us. And we defiled the deed. And I say, take your best work. You hear the gospel that all your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ. You hear the gospel that it is all finished. You hear the gospel that God justifies the ungodly. You hear the gospel that the cross of Jesus Christ is the only ground and foundation of our salvation. You hear that He was delivered for our transgressions and raised again for our justification. And we hear it and we believe it. We fall on our knees to draw near to God, to enter into fellowship with God, and to confess all our sins and to receive forgiveness for Christ's sake, and to cast all our cares upon God, and to implore the God who is our God in Jesus Christ for all that we need, to honor and to praise and to glorify Him. And we defile it. Unholy thoughts intrude themselves into that. Proud thoughts arise up in our minds. We mingle in a little self-praise. And what I produce, I don't even recognize. Whereas I willed the good, I brought forth the evil, so that the evil that I hate, that I did. And that's true of all that we produce. All that I do, I instantly and terribly defile it with my flesh, so that willing the good, I produce the evil. So that I do what I hate, and I do not do what I want to do. So defiled is the deed that when I produce it, I must condemn it as evil. That's the strange experience of the regenerated Christian. And the reason for that experience is regeneration. Remember, in the text, there are not two people speaking. There is one person speaking. And that one person is not speaking either from two different perspectives. He is not speaking on the one hand from the perspective of the old man in him. And then on the other hand, he speaks from the perspective of the new man. He speaks only from one perspective. The believer in his new man speaks. The believer in his new man says, when I do that which I do not will to do, then I consent to the law that it is good. The new man pronounces that condemning verdict over all that he produces. The text is about the regenerated believer. The regenerated believer analyzing, and the regenerated believer evaluating, and the regenerated believer expressing what he thinks of his deeds. Listen to him. There's only one I. What I do not recognize it, so defiled is it. What I will, that is the good, I will the good, I do it not. What I hate sin and evil and unrighteousness, that I do. I do. In producing such defiled things, what I do not will to do. There is only one I speaking. There is only one person. So it's true, he does the evil. And even as he does it, he hates it. That's the internal spiritual warfare. The inward battle for the regenerated child of God is that he has no peace with the evil that he does. The internal battle for the regenerated child of God is that I hate the evil even as I produce it. the internal battle is that I will the good even as I produce the evil. The internal battle is I will the good even as I cannot bring it into practice. When I have done what I wanted to do, so that I look at what I produce, I can't even recognize it as that which I set out to do. And when I will the good and I pursue it, and I labor for it, what I produce I'm filled with sorrow with. So I say, I don't approve of that. That's the internal battle. It's the regenerated believer. You must see that because he says, I consent with the law. The regenerated believer there, when he says, I consent with the law that it is good, he's saying, I acknowledge with an inner spiritual acknowledgement of the heart that the law expresses that which is good, right, holy, and just. He delights in that law after the inward man. He delights in that law and therefore he agrees or consents with that law when that law lays out what is spiritual and holy and righteous and just. And that delight in the law, therefore, is the fruit of God's own love in the heart of the believer. And all of that is the fruit of regeneration. And we must understand what regeneration is. He speaks later on of an inward man. And he says, in that inward man, I delight in the law of God. He speaks later on of his mind. With my mind, I serve the law of God. And that inner man and that mind is what everywhere else in Scripture is called the heart. The heart is the deepest spiritual level of existence of a human being. In that heart, the human being stands before God. And as the heart of a human being is, so is that human being, and so is his life. His heart is the fountain of his existence. And as the heart of a man is, so is the man. And the believer is regenerated in the heart. The heart is the seat of that regeneration of the believer. He isn't regenerated on the periphery of his life. He isn't regenerated at a superficial level. He isn't reformed in a sort of external sense so that he can rid himself of some bad habits or some offensive vices. He is regenerated in the heart. In that heart, there is a radical change that has taken place. So regeneration is the changing of the elect child of God's heart at his deepest spiritual level of existence. And that regeneration is this. The elect child of God is conceived and born in sin. He is a member according to his conception of the human race. And he is, first of all, cut out of the head Adam. And he is engrafted into Jesus Christ. The very first act of God to save his elect child of God is to make him one with Christ. So that he is one plant with Christ. So that Christ is his organic head. So that he's a member of the body of Jesus Christ, not only by election and legally, but also in his existence. He is joined, married to the risen Lord. And as soon as he is engrafted into Jesus Christ, Christ comes to take his abode up in the believer's heart, so that he partakes of the life of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He does not partake of that life abstractly. He doesn't partake of that life independently. You can never conceive of the regeneration of the believer this way. Christ lives over here, and Christ puts some of his life inside the believer, and so now the believer lives. No. He becomes one with Christ. One plant with him, one body with him, so that the very life of Christ begins to flow into that believer in his heart, and he lives. And what is that life except the Spirit himself? That's what governs the heart of the believer. That's why the apostle says, there is a law in my mind. He's not talking about this mind. He's talking about the heart. He said there's a law there now. That law is the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ by His Spirit. That's the law. That's what rules in that heart. And by that power, that heart is absolutely changed. The hatred of God that ruled in that heart is changed into the love of God. The hatred of the law is changed into the love of the law. The darkness of enmity against God is changed into the light of love for God. The unrighteousness that wholly characterized that heart is changed into righteousness. That heart is turned from Satan and from the world and from sin to God and to His law and to holiness. In his heart, the deepest spiritual level, he is in Christ. He is indwelt by Christ's Spirit. He has been born of God. He is born from above. He sins no more in that heart. That's how radical the change is. He sins no more in that heart. He cannot sin. He's born of God. And his seed remains in him. And in that heart never operates independently from Jesus Christ. All the operations of that heart, all of its life and all of its activity and all of its willing is because Christ by His Spirit constantly operates in that heart. Constantly. Constantly the Spirit enlivens him. Constantly the Spirit makes their heart throb and beat with love for God. In the old heart, he hated God. And he willed the evil, and he loved the evil that he did in that heart. But now married to the risen Lord, with the Spirit of the risen Lord throbbing in his heart with life, he wills the good and he hates the evil. He delights in the law of God after the inward man. And that's always the case in that heart. He is principally perfect in that heart. He is not, the heart of the child of God is not divided. No man can serve two masters. And the heart of the regenerated child of God is not no exception. It is not divided. He's not swinging as a pendulum in that heart between love for sin and love for God. That heart only ever loves God. Such is the force of the apostle's words. When he says he wills the good, he always wills the good in that heart. When he says he does not approve of evil, he always does not approve of evil. When he says he hates what he does, he always hates what he does because it's sinful. He always consents to the law of God that it is good. That's the force, too, not only of the apostle's words, but that's the force of the description of his heart, the law of my mind. The constantly operating principle of the mind and heart of the regenerated child of God is that he wills and delights in the good. He always does. Because he is forever united with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And the risen Lord Jesus Christ is constantly operating in his heart. That's regeneration. That's the person who speaks here. That man can say this, "Behold, all things have become new." And yet, everything outside that heart is all old. All old. He has that perfection, a principle of perfection in a totally depraved nature. That heart is throbbing with love for God. That heart confesses, consents with the law that it is good. That I'm free from the law of sin and death. That all things are become new. That I will the good, that I hate the evil. In the heart, you have to understand that's our victory. In this internal spiritual warfare, the child of God is not defeated. In this internal spiritual warfare in which he does what he hates, he doesn't do what he wants to do, he doesn't approve of what he does, the victory of the child of God is this: I do not will it to be so, and I hate what I do. That's his victory. Even as he brings forth sin, he hates it. Even as he does what he does not want to do, he does not will it to be so. That's his victory. Even as he sees that with his nature, he defiles everything he does, he does not desire it to be so. And what does he do with it? He takes it daily to the cross of Jesus Christ, and he washes himself there by faith in the cross of Jesus Christ from all his guilt and all his pollution and all his evil that he hates. Daily, every single day, he takes his stand in the cross of Jesus Christ by faith, in his perfect atoning work, and his perfect obedience, and his perfect righteousness, and his perfect forgiveness. Daily he casts away then all confidence in the flesh, and daily by faith he rests in Christ Jesus alone. Oh, he wills the good. He does. Yes, he hates the evil. He does. So that when he comes to that which he produces, he does not approve of it. It is not what he wanted to do. He defiled it. That's why you cannot stand on what you do. Nothing of what you or I do is anything but defiled. It cannot get you blessing, favor, fellowship, grace, glory, nothing. You must consent with the law. You will if you're regenerated. That all you produce, even your very best works, if the remembrance of one sin by God, you'll be damned for it. I produce the evil, even though I will the good. I produce the evil, even though I hate it. That's why the believer's life, that's why the believer's confidence, that's why the believer's hope can only be in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that produced anything that was perfect, that was worthwhile, or that was good. That's too why there can never be the slightest mitigation of the truth of total depravity. The total depravity of the unregenerated man and the ongoing total depravity of the regenerated child of God. If you mitigate that in one tiny little point, you separate the believer from Jesus Christ as the only ground and foundation of his salvation. Only if this is true of me, what I do not approve of. What I do, I hate. What I do, I did not will to do. Only if that's true of me in all that I do, in all that I think, does the believer's life rest solely on Christ? Christ's perfect and holy work, Christ's obedience, Christ's suffering, that was perfect. There he fulfilled all the demand of the law. There is freedom from condemnation. Only then, in Jesus Christ, can I have that law come back to me and evaluate my works as a regenerated believer. And the law condemns them all. And I can in Christ say there's no condemnation to me. Christ forgives me. And to understand, the apostle also explains why. Why in the regenerated believer does everything he does polluted? He says there's sin in me. Sin dwelleth in me. My heart is renewed, but I am not absolutely renewed. The heart is my core. It's that principle, that seed of regeneration in me. But I possess it in a body of death. What he later on calls the flesh. The totally depraved, carnal, sold under sin nature of the child of God. My body and my soul are very, very old in the service of sin. It's an oldness that runs from me all the way back to Adam, so that I am very old indeed in the service of sin. And that oldness is in my flesh, it's in my body. That oldness is in my hands, it's in my arms, it's in my feet, it's in my legs. The oldness is in my soul, it's in my mind, it's in my will. It's in my tongue, it's in my ears, it's in my eyes. They're all old. There is in me, that is in my flesh, no good thing. I am carnal, sold under sin. I will the good indeed. I hate the evil indeed. But when I will the good, I find that that with which I must carry it out is completely rotten, defiled, and sold under sin. All the faculties by which the deed is done are carnal, fleshly. No good at all in them. They're full, in fact, of the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and of the pride of life. Evil is present with me, he says. And besides, because there's sin in me and because there's evil present with me, there is another law operating. There is another continuously operating principle and power in me called sin. And that law controls in my members. It's the law of my members. And that law, as soon as I will the good, that law wars against me. And that law brings me into captivity to sin that is in my members. So I do not carry out that which I will. And besides, my members have two powerful allies. And the world of sin and all the temptations of the devil. So that the good that I in Jesus Christ, by the power of His Spirit, will to do, is taken captive and is led astray and is defiled, and I do not accomplish it. But I do not will it to be so. And I hate it. That's my victory. There is sin in me. But my heart isn't in it. That's why he can say that most strange thing of all. It is not I that do it, but sin in me. The believer does not sin with his heart. His heart isn't in it. He hates it. He does not will it to be so. And constantly, therefore, over against that warfare and that sin, by faith he washes himself with the blood of Jesus Christ from all his guilt and all his pollution and all his dominion. And he prays constantly for the grace of the Holy Spirit. What a wretched man. What wretched men and women we are. So much sin in me. Willing the good, doing the evil. Doing what I do not want to do and what I hate. Not approving of what I do. Constantly consenting with the law that it's true. Serving the law with my mind, but facing that power of sin in me to bring me into captivity to the law of sin in my members. What a wretched man. What believer could ever rest in his works? That person must be a lunatic or unregenerated. For this is the struggle. This is the evaluation. This is the judgment of the regenerated believer. He condemns the very best of his works. And who will then deliver him? I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has been delivered. There is no condemnation to him. There isn't now and there never will be. He has imputed to him the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that there is no condemnation ever for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not because they live a good Christian life. Not because they do some things. But because they are in Christ by faith. And they are covered by His righteousness. And He has been delivered in principle, has He not? This is our victory. We hate our sin. This is our victory. When we do that which is evil, we do not will it to be so. That's our victory. That's the first little part of our deliverance. In order that all our life long we might engage in this internal spiritual warfare, till at the moment of death, that old man of sin goes into the ground and it perishes forever. And I am lifted up in my soul in heaven to enjoy perfection there. And then when Christ comes again, calls my body out of the ground, and He makes it brand new, no longer a body of sin, but a body like the risen body of the Lord Jesus Christ, full of power and incorruption and immortality, and indwelt body and soul, mind and heart and will by the Spirit of the risen Lord. Indeed, thank God, we've been delivered through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. Apply it to our hearts. Forgive us all our sins. We confess them before Thee. And work in us, in our hearts, by Thy Spirit, that we may will the good, and that we may hate the evil, and that we might constantly wash ourselves by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, this day and every day. All this we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.